I'd like now to talk about how to express anger and how to do it fully. Many times people think that expressing anger fully is things like hitting, killing, blaming, hurting others, whether physically or mentally. Yeah, those are some ways of expressing anger, but for me, they're superficial expressions of what is going on with us when we're angry. I say superficial because, as I will try to explain, when we're angry, we're really not connected deeply with ourselves. If we're truly angry, I'm going to show us how we can bring ourselves back to life and how we can more fully express what's alive in us when we're connected to life than when we're angry. Many people think that anger is a sign of being really alive. Well, to me, anger means we got a lot of adrenaline in our system. I guess we could define anger that way. We could say it just means having a lot of adrenaline in your system. But to me, being alive is really being in touch with our needs. And anger tells me that I'm not in touch with my needs. This understanding comes as a relief to many groups I work with that experience oppression and discrimination, and they want to increase their power to effect change. Such groups are uneasy when they hear the terms nonviolent or compassionate communication, because they've so often been urged to stifle their anger, calm down, and accept the status quo. They worry about approaches that view their anger as an undesirable quality that needs to be gotten rid of. The process we're describing, however, does not encourage us to ignore, squash, or swallow anger, but rather to express the core of our anger fully and wholeheartedly by getting connected to the life behind the thinking that causes our anger. The first step to fully express anger in harmony with nonviolent communication is to divorce the other person from any responsibility for causing our anger. We rid ourselves of such thoughts as, "He or she made me angry when they did what they did." Such thinking leads us to express our anger superficially by blaming or punishing the other person. Earlier, we saw that the behavior of others may be a stimulus for our feelings, but it's never the cause. We're never angry simply because of what the other person did. We can identify the other person's behavior as the stimulus for our anger, but it is important to establish a clear separation between the other person's behavior being a stimulus and the cause of our anger. I'd like to illustrate this distinction with an example from my work at a Swedish prison. I was working with the prisoners, trying to show them, those who had behaved in violent ways, how to fully express their anger rather than to kill, beat, or rape other people. During an exercise calling on the prisoners to identify a stimulus for their anger, one prisoner said, "3 weeks ago I made a request to the prison officials, and they still haven't responded to it." Well, this gave me a clear observation of what the other people had done. I then asked him to state the cause of his anger. I said, "When this happened, you felt angry because you told yourself what?" He said, "I just told you I felt angry because they didn't respond to my request." So he was equating the stimulus with as being the cause. He had tricked himself into thinking that it was the behavior of the prison officials that was making him angry. This is an easy habit to acquire in a culture that uses guilt as a means of controlling people. In such cultures, it becomes important to trick people into thinking that we can make others feel in a certain way or make them do what we think is right. When people use guilt as a tactic of manipulation and coercion, they try to tell the other person that the other person is the cause of their guilt. They don't take responsibility for it themselves. As mentioned earlier, children who hear, "It hurts mommy and daddy when you get poor grades," these children are led to believe that their behavior is the cause of their parents' pain. The same dynamic is observed among intimate partners. When one says, "It really disappoints me when you're not here for my birthday." The English language facilitates the use of this guilt-inducing tactic in many ways. We say, "You make me angry. You hurt me by doing that. I feel sad because you do that." We use our language in many different ways to trick ourselves into believing that our feelings result from what others do. So the first step in the process of fully expressing our anger is to realize that what other people do is not the cause of our anger. It's the stimulus.